Well, what are the things that you delight in? I think you just delighted in singing that song. Wow, that was awesome. Awesome. When we talk about delight today, I thought of some things that I delight in. The roles at Texas Roadhouse. Let's get to the important things right now, right? like Jeff. Jeff's over there. Like Jeff, I would delight in a Colorado Blue Sky Powder Day skiing. Oh, yesterday, okay. Well, some people get to do that right now. Wow, remember that. Watching the Masters Golf Tournament. Yeah, some of you are going, boo. You're not interested in that. It's all right. It's all right. It's my thing, okay? Something I delight in. I delight in a Sam's date with my wife. Now, that's not Sam with us, but going to Sam's, you know, that's, you know, kind of our date on Friday night many times, and that works really good for us. Be a part of that. How about you? Men's breakfast. Yeah, that was really good. I delight in that, too. That was excellent, as usual. Fresh rain. Yeah, that works. Spike's praying. That's Spike's prayer request all the time, man. Rain and snow. Sounds like Jeff got some yesterday up there. Yeah. What else? Chocolate. There we go. Yeah, a lot of people got that one. That's for sure. I like that one, too. What's that? Being here. All right. Thank you. A new soul saved. Yes. Small group friends. Yes. Very much. Community. Having community together. What? Family. There we go. Small group family. Yeah. Great teaching. Okay. Hope you get that today. My wife. There we go. Get closer, Lisa. Get closer there. Well, that's it. Okay. And we're done. I got eight of them. We're doing good. Yes. We all have things that we delight in that are really, really, really important. Nobody mentioned ice cream. Grandchildren. Okay. Sometimes. All right. I asked this question on Thursday at our men's group, and some of you guys, maybe even ladies, will identify with this one, fishing. And there's just some people that really like fishing. Or this one, hot cup of coffee in the morning. Okay, we've got a few there. Okay, kind of warming up here a little bit now. But that cup of coffee, that doesn't work for me. I don't like coffee. But I'll do hot chocolate. That's good. Some of you delight. You have a pet that you really, really love. It's really, really important to you. Or thinking of this one. Watching a child, maybe a grandchild, run into the open arms of her dad, her mom, her grandparent. The delight of that. Some of you... planning your vacation for this summer. And the delight of that, where you get to go. For us, going to Lake City, Colorado every year is a delight to be able to do that. When we drive in, crest the hill, start going down the hill, and it says Lake City, 8,691 feet. We're here. We're here, the delight of that. Now, sometimes we can unfortunately delight in things that maybe are difficult or hard, right? Like somebody passes you going 95 miles an hour on the highway, and you see them pulled over by the state patrol. Don't tell me you haven't delighted in that before. Okay. Justice was served. Yeah, not delighting in it. I'm just saying justice was served, right? We know that. Well, this thought of delight... came about, I picked this daily in his presence book. Marion Walters, many of you knew her here at our church. She moved back to New Jersey, and she's a collector of books, and She had a number of books, I don't know, 15, 20 that she gave to me, and I went through them. She had a number of David Jeremiah books, and so I looked at this. I thought, you know what, I could add this to my daily reading. They're only, you know, they're little, just a page little devotionals. And I don't know what year, I think this might be 2022, but it doesn't really matter because April 8th is still April 8th, right? So on April 8th, it was titled this, A Good Man's Steps, and it had Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Being a follower of Christ is delightful. Psalm 37:4 tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a really important verse for me. It's my life verse. I chose that when I was at the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago back in 1974 when I went off to my undergraduate studies there. Got a picture of Moody, I think. Let's see if we got another one. There we go. It's downtown Chicago. And so you have, that's the Kroll Hall right there, and the arch you can see. And where I lived was the Culbertson's Hall, that's 19-story men's dorm that was there. So while I was there and as a senior, they had the yearbook, and they feature, as many do, you know, your seniors. I was a three-year school at that time. And so they ask us, for each of us, for a life verse, what to put in there. You know, Scott Bailey, life verse. And so I think I was under a little bit of pressure. I think I selected it pretty quickly. But I was reading my Bible every day and being a part of what God had for me in his word. And that was just a verse that had stood out for me for many, many years. And so that became my life verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It just resonated with me. And as you understand, it's not about getting the desires of our heart. It's about aligning our will with God, delighting in him, so that our desires are his desires. Not getting the things I want. No, it's about aligning my life with Christ so that his desires are my desires. That's how you get the desires of your heart. And we know we're good at that sometimes. We know that we can struggle with that at times too, and be a part of that. So let me encourage you. Have a life verse. Have something that anchors you to God and his word and gives you direction for your life. How many of you have a life verse? About a third of you. Some of you got a project for this week now. It's all right. If you don't have one now, whatever age you're at, it's all right. God can give you one. Something to guide you, or just go back through the verses you know and you've been a part of your life. And you know, you say, this verse has meant a lot to me through the years. Now, delight, I looked up some of the definitions for it. And in the Hebrew, as you can see, what I have on here, those are all different definitions that came from things that I read. Okay, so there's not like just one definition. There's a ways to broaden it out. So, bend towards, be inclined towards an object or a person. Maybe you could just say, I lean on the Lord's side, right? Oh, youth group song. Or gain great pleasure, happiness, or satisfaction. Somebody didn't type very good there. That little arrow should be, you know, down. Next one, soft or tender toward God. That was an interesting one. It's kind of a little bit different than the other ones. And one of the authors that I read said that sometimes that word delight is used in this way, as soft or tender toward God. And here's what they wrote. Following that, he said, I think lovers of God are those who are soft and tender toward him, always teachable, always pliable in his hands. It's a really good place to be. Always teachable, always pliable in his hands. I asked at our men's group, so what do you think of when you think of delight? And one of the gentlemen said, elated. That's such a good thing. Elated. Or I added, excited, make important, want more of. So those are just some thoughts to help us understand delight in the Hebrew, from the Hebrew, and how we can apply to us. And those are kind of those synonyms, elated, excited, very important, want more of. So as somebody wrote, delight yourself in the Lord in Psalm 37:4 means to find your enjoyment and happiness in God rather than in earthly possessions or fleeting pleasures. They continue, this verse isn't a guarantee of material possessions or worldly success, but rather a promise of a life aligned with God's will and purpose. My words. The verse promises that when we delight in the Lord, He will grant us the desires of heart, but not necessarily in the way we might expect. These desires are aligned with God's will and are for our good and His glory because they are His desires. They're His desires for us. So the opening line of the devotional, and then the verses that followed within this led me to think, you know, this would be a good topic for this Sunday before I start a series on the life of Jacob, which we'll start next week. So you might want to pull your Bible out, Genesis, let's see. You've got Abraham's 12 through 25, Jacob is 25 through 36, 36 through 50 is Joseph. So help you out, 25 to about 36, and it extends over a little bit past that too, of course, but we'll be looking at that. So anytime I read the word delight in my Bible, it gets circled. Because this is really important. It's a really valuable thought for me. It's my favorite word. 91 times in the Old Testament. 91 times in the Old Testament it's used. So it's an important word. So as I put those verses together, some of the verses that Dr. David Jeremiah put together in his devotional, some of the things he brought up, the verses that he looked at, I kind of categorized them a little bit. So here's what came out of that. The first is, let's delight in God. I know that, you know, doesn't sound too profound, right? But delight yourself in the Lord. Let's delight in Him. Psalm chapter 43:4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy, my delight. My joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, guitar, type stringed instrument, O God, my God. I'll go to you, I'll go into your presence, because you're my joy and you are my delight. And then I'm gonna praise you because I have this opportunity that's before me. So a couple questions came out of that to think through. Did you come this morning seeking to delight in the Lord with joy? Or did you just feel good about getting here? I understand how that is. But how much better, how much more enhanced is our worship of the Lord when we come with expectation, knowing that He's here, we're going to join with Him, and we have this opportunity to delight in Him with joy. By looking at some faces, sometimes, as my friend evangelist Terry Beasley said, it looks like you've been vaccinated with pickle juice. I mean, I know we're not always happy. I understand that. But at least in our heart, can we come into His presence with joy because of who He is, and He is our delight. He's our passion. So I was praying for my kids and grandkids this morning using that prayer guide. Pray for passion. Your kids would be passionate for Jesus Christ. That I would be passionate for Jesus Christ. So how did you come this morning? Second thing is, as we sang, did you sing with delight? Or was it just get it over with, okay? He wants us, this. I gave praise to the Lord with my lyre, with my guitar, my voice, to honor Him and to lift Him up. Why? Because He's my delight and my joy. And this is an incredible privilege to be able to worship Him. And as Jeff said, we didn't deserve to be in relationship with Him. He called us, His grace, out of His grace, He called us. But we didn't deserve that because of our sin. Ah, but He extended His grace to us, His salvation to us, so that we're children of the King. We've been adopted into His family. And what a delight that is. What a great thought that is for us. As I was thinking about it, I was trying to think of examples of this. I think there's this delight among some disciples in Matthew chapter 17. It's also in Luke 9 and also in Mark 9. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. The true story of Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up onto that mountain and showing Himself in His glory, His transfigured glory, and having Moses and Elijah join with Him. You can imagine what that would have been like. Well, maybe you can't. I'm not sure I can either, right? But we can picture at least what that was like for them to see that. And you can imagine that, you know, they might have been going, this is incredible. And God knows, Jesus knows it is. But as I think about that delight, the joy that they had in seeing it, they expressed it and said, hey, Lord, would it be all right if we just built some booths right here, some tents right here, some places to be able to reside? You know why? Because we want more of You. We want more of You. This isn't just enough. This is incredible. But we want more of You. And if You could stay with us just a lot longer, I think they were delighted disciples. They were delighting in what they got to see. And what God had for them in this beautiful experience. And you know, as they finished up, He said, don't tell anybody about this right now. I'm sure they're going, sure. What do you mean, don't tell anybody this? How could we not share what just took place? I think they were delighted disciples in the presence of God. Maybe we could put it this way. Expressing our delight in God. Jesus. Nothing more. Nothing less. Nothing else. That's delight. We want more of You. We delight in You. We're seeking You first. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we want more of You. Jesus. Nothing more. Nothing else. Delight was delight in God. Some of the verses that were in the devotional, again, I looked at and it gave me this thought. Let's delight in His Word. Let's delight in His Word. Psalm 119, 16. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your Word. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your Word. The word delight appears 10 times. In Psalm 119. And you know of that passage, 176 verses, divided up into sections of 8 verses based on the Hebrew letters that are there, the 22 Hebrew letters. Almost all the verses communicate something about the Word. There are a few that don't, but almost all of them communicate that. They use words like this: law, ways, rules, promises, statutes, precepts, commandments, testimony, and words. As I looked through that on Friday as I was going through to see all those different words, those synonyms that are used there to be able to communicate God's Word and how David, we don't know if David's the author or not, it doesn't say, but the psalmist gives us that information, says this is important, this is important. And he's saying, I delight in God's Word. It's a part of who I am. Verse 14, 16, 24, 35, 47, 70, 77, 92, 143, 174, height. God. No. But 10 times this passage, he uses the word delight. 91 times in the Old Testament. But 10 times specifically, as he talks about words, precepts, laws, commandments, statutes, all those that are there. God's word is important. I delight in your word. I will not forget your word. That's why he says just a few verses before that, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee, against you, God. Psalm 1 starts off that way. You probably know this. Probably maybe even memorize these verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He delights in the law of the Lord, God's word, and on it he meditates day and night. So, as I'm thinking about this, I would ask myself, I'd ask you, what are you doing faithfully, regularly to delight in God's word? How about this morning? To start off the day by getting in his word, because it's that important. A number of you probably did. It's that valuable to your lives. It's your passion. It's your heartbeat. It's that which guides you and strengthens you, and you want to delight in his word. It was interesting. One of the devotions I read this morning was on Joshua chapter 1:9, right? It talks about the word, making it a part of your life, and he says, meditate on it day and be careful to obey everything that's written in it that God has given to Joshua as he starts to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Is your Bible dusty or is it dirty? Is your Bible dusty or dirty? By dirty, I mean you're in it. It's got your fingerprints. It's got your grease in it. That's the kind of Bible we need. Is it opened or unopened on a daily basis? The Navigators, many years ago, Dawson Trotman started that back in the early, mid-1900s. Was a sailor, was in the Navy, and got saved. That's where he came up with the theme of navigators. As you know, their headquarters, probably know, up in Colorado Springs at the castle, Glen Eyrie Castle. And they've done some really good help to help us understand. And this is one of I came across many, many years ago, and some of you know this one. And so you can hear the Word of God, you can read the Word of God, you can study the Word of God, you can memorize it, and you can meditate. And one of the reasons that they have the thumb and the first finger is because those are what help us hold the Bible. They're the key point. And we can hear it, and that's good. We can read it, we can study. But man, when we meditate on it, and when we memorize it, and it really sticks with us. I saw one of the illustrations looking at this yesterday or on Friday, and then it had for the palm right here, it was apply it. I thought that was good. All the things we can do with it, but as Jesus says in chapter 7 of Matthew, the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? Got to hear the words, but then you got to do the words. Or as James 1 says, we want to put the word into practice. So we hear it, we read it, we study it, we meditate on it, and we memorize it, and then we apply it to our lives. We need to delight in his word. The joy of being able to hear what he has for us, to follow him and to love him and to grow in him. Giving you this statement before, maybe your guiding thing could be this: no Bible, no breakfast. Some of you go, well, that's not a big deal. I don't eat breakfast anyway. Okay, well, just put in whatever works for you, right? No Bible, no breakfast. Make it a part of your life. How important it is that we would delight in His Word. Next one that came to me from some of the verses that were there, let's delight in obedience. Apply, apply, apply the Word of God to our lives. The psalmist says, I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is in my heart. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law, your word is in my heart. And you see, when His word is in your heart, it's going to come out in obedience. When His word is in a heart, it's going to come out in an obedient life. Jesus lived that way. Early on, in the early days of His ministry, He made this statement in John chapter 6. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Early on, He made it clear, this is part of what I'm to be here for. Not to do my own thing, but I'm here to do the will of my Father. And how important that was to Him. And we know He came on His own to do the will of God, to go to the cross for us, to rise again on the third day as we celebrated last week. But early on, and then He communicates that even in the last days of His ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know the story. Let's go pray. They go. They fall asleep, not including Jesus. Jesus is travailing in the difficulty of what takes place and what's going to take place just in a few hours. As He prays and He comes back to the disciples and they're snoozing, you know, and you can understand, middle of the night. But He needs them to stay awake and to pray for Him. And as He's going before the Lord, He shares together those words that we've heard. Father, if You're willing, move this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Your will be done. He makes it clear that this is what I'm about early on in His ministry. I've not come down from heaven to do my own will, but I've come to do the will of the Father. And then as He's going through the most difficult part of His life, He shares that again. Not my will, Father, but Your will be done. Help me to be obedient to the task that is here. One of the comments that got made as we were I wasn't having my coffee. I was having my hot chocolate. But the other guys were having their coffee on Thursday. We talked about this. We talked about the fact of obedience. Is it compliant duty or joyful obedience? I can tell you when Jesus was in the garden, it wasn't compliant duty. Okay, if this is what I got to do, Father, I'll do it. I think I can do it. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I really don't want to do this, Lord. No. It's joyful obedience. It was joyful. I mean, in the midst of how hard and difficult it is, it was joyful obedience. This is what it's like this. In compliant duty, we go, okay. In joyful obedience, we go, okay, this is what I'll do. I'm going to do it. Because this is Your will. This is what I need to do. And we need to delight in that type of obedience. As was read earlier from this devotional, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he, the man, delights in his, God's way. That's when God can do His work. God's going to have a hard time doing His work when we won't do what He wants us to do. As they say, it's easier to steer a moving car than it is a parked car. And He calls us to that joyful obedience. Okay, Lord, I'll do it because I know it's the best thing for me. I know it's good for me. And I'll do it because I want to honor You. I want to delight myself in You and in obedience. I want to want what You want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. I want to want what you want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. As you know, that's from a song my late brother-in-law wrote. It just resonated with me. I want to want what you want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. Or maybe another statement that I've given you through the years. The only thing more costly than obedience is disobedience. You got that one down. And we know that. We know the struggle with that. Obedience can be costly. It cost Jesus his life to die on the cross for us. Ah, but the blessing of it is so big. Johnny Dasher, again, another comment from our study on Thursday night, said Robert Louis Stevenson, you know, who's an author, said this: sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. That's good. Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. It's going to be a good banquet if we make the right decisions and follow God's will. It could be a difficult banquet of consequences if we have chosen to do our own will and not to live in delighting in. God delights in prayer. It's the fourth thing that came to me. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in our prayers. The opportunity to come before him with our needs, our requests, our praise, our thanksgiving, to be able to share those with him. He delights in that. Just like maybe when you've had this opportunity to be with a friend or family member you haven't seen in a while, and you look forward to that conversation with them. Maybe you've got a reunion planned this summer. You have the opportunity to go and be with family members. And you have this opportunity to share together with people that you don't get to talk to very often. Now, I know sometimes in those family reunions there's that person that you're not quite as excited to be with, right? But for the most part, as we gather together with our family and our friends, as Ruth said, as we gather together with our small group family, we have this opportunity to converse and be a part of each other's life and how important it is, and how important it is within that for it to be a two-way conversation. Not you dominating the conversation, but being able to share back together through questions, through things you've shared and common experiences, to be able to do that. And same way with God, our conversation should be a two-way conversation. I'm not real good at the two-way conversation with God. I'm really good at talking to him about what you need. Because when I pray for you, I think I know what you need. I'm not always right. But I have some thoughts. And for the people that are in my life, God, would you help them to want more of you? And to seek you and have a passion for you. Would you let them have kindness in their heart toward people? Would you help them to be able to make disciples? God, would you help them to be more for you and to see more for you? Like Jabez's prayer, increase your territory, Father. Increase your territory through me, through the body at Majestic Baptist Church, to give honor to you and to love. And so, as we have this conversation, we share with him our needs, but we want to listen back. What is it, God, that you would want for me to share together and to be a part of my life? I think it was very, very apropos that he said, go ahead and save this book. I didn't save all the books she gave me, but I saved this because, God, you could use this one in my life, and I'm thankful for what you've done for me, and so therefore we have a sermon on it today. You know, his prayer was very important to the Lord, Mark 1:35, that Jesus got up early while it was still dark, and he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. I think that's a part of his life. He knew that. I have a sermon out of that. It goes like this. It was his priority, it was costly, it was solitary, and it was necessary. I just came up with those the other day. You might hear that one someday, too. But think of it, that's why he did it. Prayer is going to be costly. It's probably going to cost you sleep. That's why Well, it's a tough place to be solitary, to be alone with God, your prayer closet, to be with Him. E.M. Bounds, who wrote, I don't know how many, about 49 books on prayer, his passion, he said this, to see God, to know God, and to live for God, these form the objective of all true praying. That's a good quote. To see God, to know God, and to live for God is the objective of all true praying. And even as I read that on Friday, saw that quote, and it's moved me to think, okay, Lord, this isn't just about interceding, getting to all the things that I need to do. I really need to learn how to know you better as I pray. The time I spend with you. So, here's my question to you. How will you participate in the National Day of Prayer? It's really convenient that just happens to be Thursday. How are you going to participate in the National Day of Prayer? Personally, your time with God, but also even with a church family or a small group family or a group of people, like it were. You probably know some Christians there. Could you gather and spend break time, lunch time, and praying? At school, how could you spend some time with some friends and encourage them and challenge them in this aspect of prayer? We'll be praying here, 6 in the morning. I'll be here at 6, noon and 6 to pray. You want to join us? Love to have you come. But somehow, what will we do, because He delights in prayer, what will we do to come into His presence and be a part of what He wants us to do and to intercede and to praise Him and thank Him for what He's done for us? The last is this, and I liked how Jeremiah closed out his little devotional. God delights in us. That ought to bring a smile to your face. Get that pickle juice out of there. God delights in us. When I read that, it was like, I need to recognize that. He delights in us. Psalm 18:19. Why don't you read it with me? He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. He delighted in me. He delights in me. What a wonderful thought. Close out this morning. This verse is not up there. I added it yesterday. But it's from Micah chapter 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of... Oh, I do have it up there. Yeah. I didn't add it to the outline. I'm sorry. Transgression for the remnant of His inheritance. He does not retain His anger forever. That sounds a little bit like, I think it's Psalm 30, 4 and 5. Because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers in the days of old. There's a delight to His steadfast love. And guess who gets to experience that? Us. Exactly. Ah, this beautiful thought. He delights in us. And finally, some of you know this verse, Zephaniah 3:17, tucked away back there at the end of the Old Testament. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Part of where we got that song from. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you. Let's see. I read that verse every once in a while. I just happen to come across this like, That's a keeper right there. That's a keeper right there. For the Lord your God is with you. Emmanuel. Doesn't use the word, but communicates Emmanuel. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. And he will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you. That's it. You take that one home. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Study it. Give it everything. If we will pursue these things, if we'll pursue these things, delighting in God as He is for us, delighting in His Word, delighting in obedience, delighting in prayer, delighting here in who He is and part of our lives and His delight in us, I'm pretty certain that it would be well with your soul. I'm pretty certain it would be well with your soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Beautiful harmonies. You still delight in that song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you let us delight in you. Help us to do that. To make you our passion. To want more of you. To lean into you, to be inclined to you. Father, if there's ones here that need to do that in a saving way, and saying yes to you, help them to do that today, to give their life to you and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. My sins have separated me from the righteous Father, the Holy Father. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I need that. For those that maybe have been a little bit adrift, Father, would you help us to hold fast to you? Hebrews chapter 10. That we would delight in you, enjoy you, be excited about you. Thank you that you're excited to be a part of our lives. You like time with us. You like this relationship. It's really important to you. Just help us to lean into it. Father, now if you have the opportunity to go to Sunday school, another chance just to delight ourselves in you and also to light ourselves in the relationship with one another. How important that is. Shoulder to shoulder. Face to face to grow with one another. Father, in the midst of all we have, there's a lot of people in our church right now that they have some really serious physical needs going on. You know, we have at least three people that are under hospice care. And Father, you'd be with them. And for the moments they have, however many they have, help them to delight in you. And that even in the difficult things they're going through, people would see Jesus in them. But give them your grace. Give them your strength. Because we know it's difficult. Thank you, Father, for each person here today. You delight in them. You delight in them. And if sing over them. Let that sink deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here. today. You are sent to Sunday school.